What a beautiful introduction and welcome. Such sweet, kind, generous words. Also a gift, unexpected gift. It's a great pleasure to be part of your retreat. I'm sorry I was not able to be with you all the time in the last 3-4 days, but it is my great pleasure and a privilege and honor to be joining you this morning. Now, you are a gift as well. And I would suggest that every day when you wake up in the morning, start to say to yourself that I am a gift to this world. Each and every one of you, each and every one of the human being, we are all gifts to the world. We are channels of gratitude, of compassion, of love, of many, many wonderful things. We can channel all that. We are channels of imagination, the imagination. We bring that gift to the world. You are a gift. You bring poetry to the world. Every one of you is a potential poet. You bring art to the world. Every one of us are potential artists. Actually, not even potential artists. Everybody is an artist. An artist is not a special kind of person, but every person is a special kind of artist. So when you get up in the morning, out of your bed, think that I am an artist. I'm a lover. I'm a gift. The moment you have that recognition of yourself, you will feel contented. You have everything that you need. You don't have to go to Marks and Spencer to buy love or the imagination or the courage and confidence and gratitude. All these subtle gifts that you bring to the world, they are the greatest. You might bring a bouquet of flowers to somebody. That's only a symbol of your deep love in your heart. So whatever present you give on Diwali or Christmas coming, that's only a symbol of your heart that you bring to the world. So I would like you to start with that. You are an unexpected gift to this world. You are, I mean, in Indian Hindu tradition, we say you are Brahman. At the moment, I'm reading a wonderful book called Ashtavakra Gita. If you have not come across it or heard of it, it's worth looking. It's a wonderful gift. So it says that you are Brahman. You are God. Each and every one of us are a divine being. We are not just our body, our name, our nationality, our religion. Those are all just sake of convenience that you can say that I'm Indian or English or whatever. The sake of convenience, you can say I'm a Satish or Krishna or somebody. So all sake of convenience. You are much greater than your name, your labels, your religions, your nationality. These are all skin deep. At a very deep, profound level, you are a divine being. You are an artist. You are a poet. You are a gift. Then extend that as you are a gift, everybody is a gift. Your mother is a gift. Your father is a gift. Your husband and wife is a gift. Your daughter and son are a gift. your neighbors, your colleagues. The moment you see everybody as a gift, you stop judging and you stop expecting. When it's a gift, you don't expect. You don't expect that my mom is going to give me or my husband is going to give me something or wife is going to give me something at Christmas time or Diwali time or birthday time. You don't expect gifts. Gifts come unexpectedly. And whatever gift is coming, you feel gratitude. So everyone is a gift. If you look with those eyes, eyes of the heart, the eyes of the imagination, everybody is a gift. All your negativity, all your anxiety, all your worries, all your doubts disappear. You are just there to receive gifts. That's all you have. Only duty, only responsibility, only work we have to do is to receive the gifts and appreciate the gifts. Then you are a gift, everyone else is a gift. But the gift of the universe goes beyond that. When we start to celebrate life, we say every morning, the sun is a gift. And sometimes it comes unexpectedly, especially in Britain, out of the clouds. Rain is a gift. The apples on the tree are a gift. Everything in this universe is a gift. And unexpected. We don't expect anything. So the moment you start to look at the gift, you will look after it. If our forests are a gift, we are not going to cut down the rainforest as they are doing in Brazil, because they don't see that rainforest as a gift. The planet Earth as a gift. Why we have ecological problems, social problems, personal problems? Because we have lost that sense of the gift. You don't demand gift. When you start to demand greed, that's not a gift. Gift is different from greed. And you start to demand things, then you become a consumer. So at the moment, our society has lost that sense of gift. Somebody mentioned Charles Eisenstein. He's written a wonderful book about gift economy. And Thich Nhat Hanh, somebody mentioned. Plum Village. It's all gift economy. The moment we start to look at the world, so much gift, abundance of gift. At the moment, we have got the harvest time, apples. I've got 15 apple trees in my orchard. And so many apples, I cannot eat. I'm saying everybody who comes to the house, please take some apples. The abundance. So nature is abundant. But we in our misunderstanding or confusion or lack of confidence, we have turned everything which is abundant into scarcity. So the moment you have no expectation, you are at ease. All your burdens and all your worries have disappeared. So only way, and it's a wonderful title that you have chosen for your retreat, unexpected gift. Life is an unexpected gift. So the only thing is to drop all expectations, because things don't work out as you expect. And then you are disappointed because you're expecting something. It doesn't happen. You are disappointed. But when you have no expectation, you have dropped all your expectations, expectation from your husband, from your wife, from your children, from your parents, from your colleagues. You're expecting nothing. And instead of expecting, you replace that word expectation with a very another beautiful word, this acceptance. You accept the gift of life as it comes with open heart. Your heart is as big as the universe. Your heart is as big as the whole sky. With open heart, you accept whatever comes. Good or bad, whatever. That's only a judgment. It's only in our mind what is good or what is bad. Everything has its place. So, in this retreat that you have gone through, and I heard some of you reflecting, such a beautiful experience, beautiful words, beautiful feelings you have gone through. So just accept life as a gift, as it comes, with warts and all. Somebody said that you are not well, you are ill. Even illness is a gift. If you can have that courage, that strength, and you can muster that strength and courage to accept even illness as a gift. This coronavirus, it will be impossible to think. And people will perhaps say, what are you saying, Satish? Have you gone mad? To say the evil coronavirus might be a gift. To rethink about our relationship with the natural world and how we have been treating the land, the forest, the animals, the wildlife. It may be a gift for us to think, what have we done to deserve the whole world being gripped by this terrible virus. If we can bring ourselves to have that courage, even negative things coming, life is not just hunky-dory, all smooth and straightforward and even keel. Life is a journey, a pilgrimage, which has many ups and downs. I don't know if any of you have walked the coast path. I live by the sea, by the coast path. And it's always 500 feet down and then 500 feet high up, ups and downs. And if you are a pilgrim, in your pilgrimage, you will have storms. You have a dark night of the soul. And you go through it. The metaphorical storms as well as the real storms, literal storms, and snow and cold. So if you can accept winter as a gift, then spring is certainly a gift. But the spring, gift of spring, will not come without winter. And so accepting everything as it comes, with love, with generosity, with gratitude, with open heart, and living with it, and mustering that strength and confidence and courage to go through the pilgrimage of life. That is the challenge. And so thank you for giving me the chance to say a few words about the idea that how I understand life's unexpected gift. And one can go on. It's such a beautiful subject and a beautiful way to think. At the moment, I'm reading Hafiz as well, Ashtavakra and Hafiz together. Wonderful. And I end this little presentation that I'm making with a few lines. Hafiz says, I once asked a bird, how is it that you fly in this gravity of darkness? And the bird responded, love lifts me. So it's the love which makes the bird fly. So thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for being who you are, a wonderful gift. And thank you for giving me this privilege and opportunity to say a few words to you in your this wonderful retreat. And I'll be very happy to answer if you have any questions in the next 10 or 15 minutes. Thank you, Trishna, and thank you, all of you, for this wonderful event. Thank you.
Thank you, Satishji. It's such a joy to listen to your words of inspiration, as always. And we want to have a kind of 15, 20 minutes here for some questions. I think he always seeds many thoughts and many themes in his talks. And if there's anything alive that you'd like to ask him, please do just kind of wave your hand and all. Sahil, go for it.
My question was actually a little bit less to do with what you said, but a little bit more about your story. And my question was, what are the learnings that you gleaned from Jane Agam in then effectively promoting for peace? And how can those learnings be applied today?
Thank you. What I have learned from Jane Agam is one of the most beautiful thing is the Jain philosophy is very inclusive. There is a philosophy called Anekant, which means no one truth, multiplicity of truths. Like you have biodiversity, cultural diversity, linguistic diversity, religious diversity. Jains have come up with this idea of truth diversity. There is no one single truth. There are many truths. Anekan. An is no. Ek means one. Ant means knowledge or truth. So there's no one truth. Anekan. That's what I learned. At the moment, people get stuck with just one single truth. Either capitalism is the right one, or communism is the right one, or socialism is the right one, or Hindu is the right one, or the Buddhist is the right one, or whatever your truth, or whatever your philosophy. It's one philosophy, and you say, this is the truth. So Anekant, the Jain Agam, teach you Anekant, that there are as many truths as there are people. Also, this is same in Hindu too. We call it Swadharma. In Hindu, you call it Swadharma. In Jain, you call it Anekant. Swadharma. So there is no one dharma. Each and every one of us have our own dharma. Like all of us have eyes. But each and one of us, each and every one of us have our own special unique eye. There are no two persons' eyes same. So that kind of multiplicity and inclusivity is the, I think, most beautiful idea relevant to our time. At the moment, the world is full of conflicts and problems because we think there is only one way. If we can embrace this multiplicity of truth, the truth diversity, what I learned from Jane Agam, I think we will be able to live in harmony with each other and celebrate the diversity of religions, nationalities, colors, races, genders, every kind of diversity. We'll celebrate rather than divisions, turn diversity into divisions and conflict and war. That's what I learned.
Thank you, Satishji. Sahil, Goldman, you had your hand up.
Hello.
Hello, Trishna. Did you say I could share something quickly?
Did you have a question? We're doing questions for Satishji right now. Did you have a question?
No. I didn't raise my hand.
That's okay. Gulpak, do you want to go next?
Yes, I have a question. So thank you for the what you've shared. I think it's very, well, invaluable in a way. Just a follow-up of what you mentioned just now. I think a lot of these teachings and principles that are going on or in a Buddhist lifestyle or a Hindu or Jain, they take you towards more of an ascetic lifestyle. And I was wondering, how do we take these learnings and apply to day-to-day lifestyle? I think it's sometimes conflicting and very difficult. That's my question. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. as I said, there's no one way. Ascetic life is not for everybody. And grihastha life is not for everybody. Sannyas is not for everybody. So each and every one of us have to ask ourselves, what is best for me? How can I find peace and harmony in my heart? What is the way to do it? Not everybody has to be a painter. Nobody has to be a teacher. Not everybody has to be a singer. Not everybody has to be a farmer. Each and every one of us have to find our own vocation. So if somebody is living an ascetic life, you don't have to copy it. You have to find your way. What I have coined the word instead of asceticism or whatever, I have written a book called Elegant Simplicity. Now, that elegant simplicity can be interpreted in your own way. So try to find a way of life which is elegant and beautiful and joyful, ananda, paramananda, joyful, blissful, but simple, not complicated. Elegant simplicity. And that can be applied at every level, wherever you are. You are a grihastha, you are a student, you are a business person, you are a farmer, you are a doctor, whoever you are, find your own way of elegant, beautiful, simple life. That's one answer. So you don't have to copy any other because somebody is following or scripture says something. You have to find your heart, your own heart. And if you truly follow your own heart, you will find a way which is elegant, simple, and not damaging to the earth, not damaging, exploiting any other people. Because you are living with your two hands, you are making something beautiful, something useful, something durable. So elegant simplicity is my phrase, which I would like to recommend rather than anything else. But follow your heart. Each and everyone has to find our own truth, our own dharma, and not copy anybody else's dharma.
Thank you. Kush has a question next.
Pranams, Satishji.
Yes.
The work that I do and like the campaigns that I run probably means that I'm maybe one of the highest polluters of carbon in the atmosphere of the UK. So how do I reconcile that with Mother Earth?
Ultimately, you need to start thinking, how can I gradually and slowly change the way of my life? Because if you are, for example, a frequent flyer, you have to say, instead of flying 5 times a year or 6 times a year, I will fly 3 times a year or 2 times a year or 1 time a year. If you are commuting 1 hour, 2 hours every day, you have to start saying, can I find a place where I can live and pollute maybe less and commute half an hour or 10 minutes? Or can I walk to my workplace? So you have to start asking yourself, because being in harmony with the planet Earth and living in harmony with nature is everybody's responsibility. We all have to find a way of reducing our footprint and reducing our impact so that living simply so others may simply live. I cannot give you a detailed answer. In the end, you have to be courageous and maybe you have to give up your job. You have to say, I'm going to be honest to myself, truthful to myself, and I can't do something which my heart does not approve, or my imagination or my consciousness does not approve. I have to take courage and I have to be brave and I have to give up something. You may have to do that, but decision has to be yours, not Satish, not somebody else. You have to find your way, and it can be gradual. It could be sudden. It's up to you. But we have to start to live in, if everybody's keep polluting the way we are polluting and creating global warming, climate change, pollution of the rivers, oceans full of plastic, rainforest going, all these things that go on, it cannot survive. Planet is cannot. We will have coronavirus more and more, because this is the reaction. This is the call of the earth. This is the voice of the earth. So humanity as a whole, and each and every one of us, have to take personal responsibility and say, how can I make, and there's no perfect way. Nobody's perfect. You don't have to think that I have to be perfect. But how can I turn a little bit away from my polluting lifestyle and make one step in a less pollution, one step more harmonious, one step, step by step, you have to change. There may be a time when you can say, I can make a sudden change, but I would advise step by step. Every day be mindful, every day be careful, and think how can you reduce your impact on planet Earth and still live joyfully, happily, with poetry, with music, with singing, with reading, with walking, with enjoying nature, with friends, with family. There are many, many ways to live a very beautiful, joyful, ananda, paramananda life, blissful life. You can live it. All the money and cars and computers and all the kind of paraphernalia, they are not finally the true source of joy and ananda and pleasure and bliss. The true source of bliss and ananda and joy is in your heart and your relationship with natural world and relationship with other humans. So you have to think about yourself. I can only give some guideline.
Thank you. We have time maybe for one last question. Harsha, go for it.
Thank you. Namaste, Satishji.
Yes,
thank you so much for being with us here this morning. I was really taken with your words, particularly in relation to Anekant and Swadharma. And it reminded me of, so my mum used to say to me that everyone is right in their own way. And that was sort of my belief right the way through. But obviously there's people in the world that are stuck with a particular narrow view of life or a particular ideology. How do we support them? How do we enable them to see truth diversity?
Yes. We cannot show them truth diversity just by words alone. Words have a limited power. The real power is power of love. So without judging, even Trump or even people who are polluting the world like oil companies and so on, we still have to show our love to them. There is no other way. And if you have neighbor or colleague in your company or business or wherever you are, rather than preaching truth or preaching whatever, ecology or preaching love, you have to be that. You have to radiate love. Like a radiator does not preach heating. He just radiates heat. And if you are cold, you will be attracted to that radiator. So be the radiator. And you, when you are radiator, other people will be influenced by you. So Thich Nhat Hanh is a radiator. Mahatma Gandhi was a radiator. And Mother Teresa was a radiator. And you are a radiator. And Trishna is a radiator. We are all potential radiators. So we have to be the change. We have to show our love. We have to show and bring them gift. Open their hearts. Don't show them that I'm your enemy. You are my enemy. You are wrong. I'm right. That is not anekant. The anekant is to have your heart is full of love. And you go to anyone, like the Buddha went to Angulimala. I have written a book called The Buddha and the Terrorist. You read that if you haven't. Angulimala. He was a violent man. And he was killing people and putting their fingers in a garland. It's called Angulimala, the garland of fingers. And he was killing people. And Buddha went to him as a radiator and changed him. So there are many, many examples. You can be a Buddha. You are a Buddha. Everybody is a potential Buddha. So you can, with your love, monsoon of love, as somebody quoted me, you can irrigate. Even the driest of dry desert can be irrigated by monsoon of love. So go with your monsoon of love. Go as a radiator. So monsoon of love is a metaphor for cooling, and radiator is a metaphor for warming. So either you cool the person or warm the person, but be that change. And that's the only way. There's no preaching. There's no condemning. There's no judging that I recommend or advocate.